Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, August the 17th. And we are 2 days into hay fever season. If you're allergic to ragweeds, you know that. My producer, Leo Duran, suggested we do a program to help allergy sufferers in between sneezes yesterday. So we are, with the help of a La Crosse physician who specializes in allergies. Are you or someone you know experiencing allergy symptoms right now? What do you do about them? We'll welcome your questions for our guest expert as we talk about whether it's going to be a bad hay fever season, maybe talk some about the mold allergy season, which is also upon us. And how do you know what allergies you might have? Anyway, we welcome any of your questions. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send your question to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Dr. Mary Morris, a physician at Allergy Associates of La Crosse and medical director of Allergy Choices in La Crosse. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we are in ragweed season right now.
We certainly are.
What is ragweed?
Ragweed is a pollen that there's a plant that releases pollen this time of year, and it releases huge numbers of pollen. And for people who are sensitive to it, it can cause real trouble.
Like what?
Itchy, watery eyes, sneezing, even in certain people, if they're really sensitive, it can trigger asthma for them.
Yeah, and the this is something that is not just a rural thing. This is something that is experienced in the suburbs, in the cities, and everywhere, right?
Yeah, it certainly is. The pollen is light enough that it travels great distances. So even if you're in the middle of the city, you still are exposed to ragweed pollen.
And I didn't know this before, but this is the ragweed or whatever blossoms now, and it lasts for about a month.
That is correct.
Yeah.
We do the pollen and mold counts in our office and have been doing so for about 25 years. So we have a pretty good sense that August 15th is the classic day for when ragweed really starts to bother people.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this year we started seeing ragweed pollen about 2 weeks early. And if experience holds true, that usually indicates it's going to be a pretty severe season for people.
Well, that will explain why my producer Leo has been suffering for more than since August 15th.
I know. Yeah, it's a surprise to people, I think.
Yeah, so that means it might be a bad season.
Yeah, if we look back over the past 25 years, usually if it starts early, it means it's going to be a pretty severe season.
Yeah, and that must just be because of whatever the weather conditions were good for ragweed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like the other plants grow, when conditions are good for growing, the ragweed seems to flourish.
Now, you also said, I see on a chart here that that we got from you that it is mold allergy season, too.
We have had unbelievably high mold counts. Over the last several weeks, they've been incredibly high. So people who are allergic to mold get a double whammy. Not only do they have the ragweed reaction, but the mold intensifies their allergy symptoms. The really worrisome thing that we've seen is that Alternaria, which is a particular mold, has been very high. And unfortunately, that tends to correlate not only with typical hay fever, eye, nose symptoms, but can trigger really severe asthma in patients as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you know if your itchy eyes are due to ragweed or mold or something else?
Well, allergy tests easily can identify if it's pollen, if it's mold, dust, animals. You know, we have the ability to test for all of those airborne allergens. The traditional way of doing it is with skin testing, which is readily available through allergists around the state.
You actually put a sample of that, you poke it into me.
Exactly. We do little picks just under the top layer of skin. And then if it welts up, looks like a mosquito bite, and gets bigger, we know that that's the item which you're allergic to.
Yeah.
We also, over the years, there's a blood test that's been developed looking at the specific allergy antibodies in a person's bloodstream. And that has also been refined over the years and is now also an accurate way of determining if people are allergic to dust, pollen, molds, animals, mm-hmm. foods. All of that can be done now through a blood test as well.
We will talk about some of the common treatments and maybe some new treatments with our guest after we check our weather forecast. And welcome questions from you. Are you an allergy sufferer? Are you sneezing away right now? It's hay fever season and mold allergy season right now. We're answering your questions and talking with you about allergies of all sorts at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Our guest is Dr. Mary Morris. She is a physician at Allergy Associates of La Crosse, a member of the American College of Physicians, and medical director of Allergy Choices in La Crosse. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 and a half minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, August the 17th. The world's oldest person died this week at the age of 114. And that has Ben Marins wondering, how old do you want to be before you die? After 5, during At Issue, Ben talks with an expert on aging from the New England Centenarian Study. So talking about living to be 100 or more coming up later today at 5 o'clock. We're talking about living with allergies during this hour. It's allergy season. Ragweed season is officially underway, and you know that if you're a hay fever sufferer. How do you cope? What questions do you have? Talking about hay fever and other allergies with our guest expert, Dr. Mary Morris. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. I promised that we would talk some about treatments. Leo, my producer, complains that he doesn't get any relief from the over-the-counter thing that he buys. I think he specifically said Claritin. And uh-huh. So what? Should he try something else? What should he do?
Over-the-counter medications we have been able to get one of the non-sedating antihistamines, the Claritin, over-the-counter now, which is great. I do think the prescription medications that we have available are actually stronger and provide better symptom relief. Not only antihistamines, but if nasal symptoms are an issue, the inhaled steroid-type nasal sprays have been a huge help for people with congestion, being able to really quiet down the inflammation in the nose. We also have eye drops that can be helpful if eye itching is a real problem, not only over-the-counter ones, but now prescription ones. The most exciting thing, I think, that really is becoming more readily available for people, though, is immunotherapy. And to me, that's probably the most exciting advance that's been on the horizon for a while in the United States and also around the world. We're finding that immunotherapy, instead of being sort of the last resort that people would turn to, is now in the rest of the world becoming the first option for treatment.
Now, what exactly is immunotherapy?
Immunotherapy is where we give patients small amounts of what they're allergic to help their own immune system build up a tolerance to it. Mm. The beauty of immunotherapy is not only is it symptom relieving, meaning that it helps so you don't have the itchy eyes, the sneezing, asthma, but it also changes the immune system so there is an end to it. meaning that after you've been on immunotherapy 3, 4, 5 years, you should be able to stop it and no longer have those allergies.
So do we walk around with little welts on our...
Well, traditionally, we have given people allergy shots. Mm-hmm. That's been available since the 1920s. And unfortunately, because it's an injection, only about 4% of people who could benefit from immunotherapy actually receive it. But now in our clinic, we've been using sublingual immunotherapy, which is allergy drops under mm-hmm. the tongue, for many years. Mm. My dad was a real pioneer in that form of treatment and started doing it about 35 years ago.
Oh, now, so the people are more likely to take the drops. They don't want the injection. Is that it?
Well, they're more convenient, mm-hmm. certainly. And studies show now that they're markedly safer as well. Mm-hmm. So it allows us to give immunotherapy to people who previously weren't candidates for it. They wouldn't have been able to tolerate shots.
We'll talk more about that in just a moment. We have a few callers waiting. We
sure.
do have an open line, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Talking about allergies and treating allergies and welcoming your questions for our guest, Dr. Mary Morris of La Crosse. Nathan in Minneapolis is with us first. Hi, Nathan. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
My question is that... recently turned over the ripe old age of 31, and I was wondering if you can grow into having allergies or something like that, because I've never had anything of the sort my whole entire life until this year. This year I went to the county fair, and that was it. Ever since, I've been sneezing, coughing, itching, and it's been non-stop. So
Yeah, hold on, Nathan. You can develop an allergy as you get older, Dr. Morris?
Yes, I think that there's a common misperception that you either have allergies when you're young or you'll never have them. And unfortunately, people can develop allergies at any age. We aren't sure of all of the factors of why suddenly that allergy switch turns on, but it can happen at any age.
Yeah, and what is it? When did you go to the county fair, Nathan?
That was about 2 weeks ago, I think. Now we went into the barns and see the cows and all that stuff. And I had grown up on a farm most of my childhood, so I had never experienced any type of hay fever or anything of the sort. So I couldn't account it to that because, you know, it was just something that, you know, I never had to live with or ever had to deal with. So. And after a couple of weeks, deciding, well, it's not the flu, it's not the cold, it's not, eating right, taking care of myself, and I've just had to decide that it's that time of the year, and maybe I'm just getting old.
Well, I would say that things that were unusual this year was how early the ragweed season started, but also how incredibly high the molds have been. So my guess is that's probably what's been affecting you recently. Mm-hmm. A doctor can, by exam, just by looking inside your nose, have a good sense if it looks like allergy-type swelling. And certainly you may want to check with your local doctor and just see if maybe a prescription nasal spray or something would help relieve your symptoms.
Well, good luck to you, Nathan.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. I have never had allergies, and I still don't, but I'm maybe a little bit of blowing my nose these days. It's nothing bad, but it very well could be that I have a little bit of a reaction going on.
Certainly, allergies come in all degrees of severity.
Mm-hmm.
So from nothing to very mild, where you wouldn't want to do anything to it, to really severe, you know, affecting lung function and all of that.
Nathan said he grew up on a farm, and that reminded me of a study that was out within the last year that said that maybe kids who did grow up on farms or grew up in maybe less than completely sanitary conditions or had pets when they were growing up, that they were less likely to have allergies. Do you think there's anything to that?
Yeah, it's referred to as the hygiene hypothesis, mm-hmm. and I think it's not quite as simple as just growing up on a farm, but studies are showing early exposures to dirt mm-hmm. actually is a good thing. And perhaps our making our environments too clean hasn't been a good thing.
Yeah, have you? Is there research that says that allergies are worse today in terms of numbers of people affected than they used to be?
There has been a huge increase mm-hmm. in the numbers of patients who suffer from allergies. Not only allergies, but also asthma is increasing at an alarming rate in school-age children. Mm-hmm. We're not entirely sure of all the factors. Some doctors were skeptical at first, thinking that perhaps it was just we were better at diagnosing allergies and asthma, but they've had very good surveillance programs around the world where they've just, since the 1950s, have routinely skin tested and done lung function on school-age children, you know, mm-hmm. grade 1, grade 5, and have followed that pattern of testing, and it actually is truly an increase. It's not just that we are better at diagnosing it. Yeah.
Denise in Germantown is with us. Hi, Denise.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I have one of those kids that have been diagnosed with allergies and then asthma as a result, and he's allergic to mold and ragweed as well.
Uh-huh.
And he's been on daily Singulair for almost a year, and then Flovent for several months. And I was wondering if there were any studies that showed the effect of long-term use of these drugs in children, because, you know, I hate to give my almost 4-year-old, you know, all these drugs every day.
Right. Well, luckily we have quite a few long-term studies on safety for both Singulair and inhaled steroids like Flovent, and they do seem to be a good, safe, long-term choice. My bias, however, is if people are needing daily medications, especially in a child that young, that immunotherapy is something that you might want to look into. The allergy shots aren't typically given in this country under the age of 6, but the allergy drops are a safe choice for a younger child.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Denise, for the call, and good luck to you and your child. I think we have time for one more before our news break. Jason in Sun Prairie, hi.
Hi. I'm glad to be on your show. I had suffered from allergies and asthma just horribly as a kid,
uh-huh.
and well into my adulthood. And 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with celiac disease.
Yes.
Which is a food intolerance to wheat, barley, and rye.
Yep.
And since having been diagnosed with that and making dietary changes, I've noticed that asthma and allergies, like after mowing lawn and stuff like that, are not nearly as bad as they used to be.
Let me ask our guest to respond to that after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll welcome more questions about allergies. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine at 6:36 on this Friday morning, August the 17th. And we are talking about allergies this hour because ragweed season is officially underway and mold allergies, too, are acting up right now. We are talking with a guest physician who can provide you with some advice on how to treat allergies or diagnose allergies. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Are you experiencing hay fever symptoms right now? What do you do to cope? Well, my producer, Leo Duran, certainly is. He almost called in sick earlier this week, and he constantly has a tissue over his nose. Guess who suggested that we do this hour on allergies? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Dr. Mary Morris, a physician at Allergy Associates of La Crosse. She is a member of the American College of Physicians and medical director of Allergy Choices in La Crosse. We are talking about some of your choices when it comes to treating allergies. Dr. Morris, we heard from a caller just before news time, Jason in Sun Prairie, who said that he always had allergies as a kid, and then he learned he had celiac disease, which is an intolerance, I think, to wheat?
Grains,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he said when he started making dietary changes, not only did it help the celiac disease, he says he thinks it helped his other allergies. What do you think?
Well, celiac disease is an immune system disorder. It is not actually an allergy to the grains, however. It's a problem with the small intestinal lining that if a person who has celiac disease eats things like wheat, rye, barley, it actually damages the lining of the small intestine, and they can't absorb nutrients as well. They have really a lot of systemic symptoms related to it. It isn't, as I said, a true allergy, but it certainly puts a stress on the immune system and affects the person's overall health. So I think that actually may be the mechanism of why his allergies were affected more. He just maybe was taxing his immune system and not as healthy as he would be if he's following the diet.
So there's nothing to, if you eat wheat or these other things, that's not going to act up your hay fever.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly is something I'm familiar with. I have a daughter who has celiac disease. Mm-hmm. And what's exciting about celiac disease is once it's identified and you follow the diet, your health returns to normal.
Mm-hmm. We did have a caller who couldn't wait through the news, Tom, from Rice Lake, who
uh-huh.
wants to know if you can explain the differences between an allergy and a sensitivity.
Okay. It's I'd say the late 1960s, there was a discovery of the allergy antibody called immunoglobulin E. We call it IgE. We define an allergic reaction as one which is mediated through IgE-type mechanisms. So now that we have the ability to do blood tests and skin tests and identify IgE-mediated diseases, we call those allergies. Intolerances can work through other mechanisms, through other immunoglobulins, through cell-mediated reactions, and those are lumped as intolerances. I always think that it doesn't really matter to the patient if it's an allergy or an intolerance. All they know is they either are exposed to it or eat it and it makes them sick.
Mm-hmm.
But doctors have defined allergies as those that are mediated by immunoglobulin E.
Well, that was part of his email, but it was he wanted to know the difference between IgT and IgE, so he apparently has gone through those tests.
Oh, okay.
But you explained it, so all right. Thanks to Tom in Rice Lake. Next we go to Dave in Appleton. Hi, Dave.
Hello. I have a question about the difference between the allergy medications you have, these different generics like Walfenate, Walhist, all these other ones, and I'm just wondering which ones cause drowsiness or which ones are best, especially when a person gets like itchy eyes, itchy roof of the mouth, and all that kind of stuff, and runny nose, and if you could help me a little bit in that area.
Sure, I'd be glad to. The only non-sedating antihistamine that is available without a prescription is loratadine. The brand names would be Claritin, Allivert. Now that it's available generically, there are, Walgreens brand and Walmart brand and all of that. But if you look at the label, it will say loratadine. That is the main antihistamine that won't make you tired. I don't feel it's as strong as some of the other antihistamines, for example, Benadryl. The generic name of that is diphenhydramine. That is, I think, a more potent antihistamine, but it definitely has the downside that it causes drowsiness in a lot of people. So you may want to use something like loratadine during the day, and if you're really severe, use something like the diphenhydramine at night. We also have combination products that have decongestants added. So if you don't have problems with blood pressure or reasons to not take a decongestant, there are decongestants available without a prescription as well. Those are the Sudafed-type products, which you now have to sign for, or there are some that are available in combination that you can just get off the shelf without having to sign for them. We have pretty good eye drops available now without a prescription. Zatador went over-the-counter this year. That's one that previously had been only available by prescription.
There
are actually quite a good variety of them.
Now, if he has itchy eyes and an itchy roof of the mouth, he would need some sort of antihistamine, right?
Correct. The itchy eyes will be helped with the eye drops, but for the itchy throat, itchy palate, that you'll need a bi-mouth antihistamine.
Yeah. Dr. Morse, why do some antihistamines, like the Claritins, why are you not drowsy with that antihistamine and you are drowsy with the antihistamine and a Benadryl?
There's a barrier around our brain called the blood-brain barrier, and the loratadine doesn't cross that blood-brain barrier, so it doesn't affect your brain.
Mm-hmm. But it is your experience that perhaps the ones like Benadryl that make you drowsy might be a little more effective in being a stronger antihistamine?
Correct.
Yeah. Any more questions, Dave, to clarify?
No, she did a really nice job. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you did.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call, and good luck to you. Lisa in Keewaskum. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I actually have two questions. The first one is, if you can become immune to a certain allergy pill, it seems like I'll take one for a while and it'll work and then it'll stop working. Go ahead.
That you are correct. There are certain people that will develop a tolerance and have to trade off, meaning use one antihistamine for a while and then when it stops working, switch to a different one. But then sometimes they can go back to the first one, and it will start to work for them again.
Okay. And my second question is, I'm on Allegra D right now, which contains pseudoephedrine.
That is correct.
And I'm wondering if there's a long-term effect to taking that every day, because it seems to make me quite jittery during the day.
The Allegra or fexofenadine component of Allegra D, I have no concerns about long-term safety with that. The amount of decongestant in Allegra D is pretty hefty. So people who have problems with blood pressure, constipation, urinary difficulties, that is the component that I actually have more of a concern about.
Anything else, Lisa?
That would be it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call. We'll check our weather forecast, and we have opened up a line for you. If you have a question about allergies, talking about allergies because it is ragweed season in Wisconsin and mold allergy season as well. And our guest says it looks like it's shaping up to be what could be a pretty severe season for both of those. What to do about allergies, questions about allergies, new treatments, over-the-counter versus prescription. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Dr. Mary Morris, who is Medical Director of Allergy Choices in La Crosse. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Friday, August the 17th. Coming up after 7, we'll talk about what the Dane County Board did early this morning. They voted overwhelmingly in favor of a resolution calling on Congress to begin impeachment proceedings against President Bush and Vice President Cheney. Was there any point to this vote? We'll talk with our guest political scientist after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking with our guest physician, Dr. Mary Morris, who is a member of the American College of Physicians. She is also a physician with Allergy Choices of La Crosse, medical director of Allergy Choices of La Crosse. She is here to answer your questions about allergies of any kind, though we are talking with her because it's currently ragweed season or hay fever season, and mold allergies are also acting up right now. But if you have questions about allergies of any kind, they are welcome at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Dr. Morse, is there anything that people can do aside from the various over-the-counter or prescription treatments to avoid the allergies or to lessen the symptoms? That's not medical.
Certainly, air conditioning, good filtration system, staying inside, all of those things are certainly helpful. Trying to reorder your outside activities to certain times of day also can be helpful. Early morning, late evening tend to be harder times for people. So planning activities, especially outside exercise, midday might be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Not hanging clothing and things outside on a line, especially sheets and pillowcases.
Sure,
that collects the pollen and you bring it in and put it on your bed. That's not a helpful thing for people. Taking a shower, coming inside, washing off the pollen, it does collect on your hair and in your nasal passageways. We've recommended for a long time saline irrigation, which is saltwater rinses. You can get kits now at practically any pharmacy or Target, places like that. One that I particularly like is made by Neomed, where it has a packet that you dissolve in water, and then you just squirt it up your nose, and that rinses out not only the pollen grains, but also mucus, keeps it thin.
Are those little teapot things?
Yeah. Neti pots are another way of getting the salt water into the nasal and sinus passageways. My experience has been when I recommend it, people usually say, no way. The first time they try it, they hate it. Second time, like, oh, this might not be so bad. And usually after the third time, most patients really find it helpful for irrigating their sinus and nasal passageways.
Well, lots more callers now. Shirley in Madison is next. Hi, Shirley.
Hi. With the weather forecast for storms this weekend, does the weather change the amount of allergens in the air? Is it, you know, for instance, if it holds lots of moisture or rain or stuff? Because I've noticed before it rains that my allergies seem worse. I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Hello. You are correct that the weather definitely has a role in both the pollen count and the mold count. When it rains, the pollens are actually rinsed from the air, and there's usually a bit of a respite for at least several hours after rain where the pollen is less. Unfortunately, the dampness and humidity tends to promote mold growth.
Right.
So so if you're just pollen allergic, the rain is good. If you're mold allergic, unfortunately, then that's offset.
If you are a hay fever sufferer, if you're suffering right now with ragweed, are you also typically going to have allergies to tree pollens and grass pollens too?
If a person has a tendency towards allergies and they've been through enough seasons in a certain part of the country, oftentimes they will have not only the fall allergies to things like ragweed, but they usually develop spring allergies as well.
Yeah, and if you have a pollen allergy, are you likely to have a mold allergy too?
Quite commonly,
yeah.
But not everyone with pollen allergy has mold allergy.
Yeah. Eric in Green Bay, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm 25, and it seems like when I was 21 or so, I started to get allergies. Before that, I had none. I was wondering why that was.
We don't understand all of the factors that go into why allergies will develop at a certain age. We do know that certain viral infections do make that risk higher. For example, mono is one that people can have been healthy, had no allergy symptoms. They have mono, and that seems to turn the allergy switch on. Hormones can play a role. Certainly at the time of puberty, we'll see a spike in allergies. Pregnancy and even menopause, those are times where there's some connection with the immune system that unfortunately turns that switch on.
Ah, interesting. Didn't know that. Thank you, Eric. Deborah in Slinger. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just calling to. I used to have hay fever very bad when I was a child. Lived on Benadryl and pretty much in my room with an air conditioner on all the time. And then I started developing spring allergies like 2 years ago.
Okay.
One of my girlfriends had told me, did you ever think of antibiotics? The OPC3s, and I started to try that, and the last 2 years I've been on the isotonic OPC3, two capsules in the morning, two capsules at night, and in the spring or in the fall when the allergies are worse, I just up a capsule in the middle of the day.
You know what, Deborah, you're breaking up on the cell phone. It's hard for me to hear you, but I'm hoping that Dr. Morris knows what you're talking about with those letters.
I actually couldn't understand what product you're using.
Just say the product, Deborah.
It's the Isotonix OPC3. It's a natural antioxidant.
Okay.
With grape seed, red wine, pine bark, bilberry, citrus extract.
Sounds like a natural or complementary treatment, Dr. Morris. Have you heard of that?
Right. I haven't heard of that particular product. We do know that antioxidants, however, can be helpful for allergies. So I'm not familiar with that specific product, but we do now have studies indicating that not only the antioxidants can be helpful for allergies, but also making sure that people have good amounts in their diet, that can be helpful as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Deborah, very much for the call. Beverly in Duluth. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. I've had an allergy to turkey all of my life, and I've just never heard of anyone else who does. Have you ever heard of that? I can eat any other fowl. I can eat chicken or any wild fowl, and no problem.
I actually have a very good friend who has a severe turkey allergy, so I actually am quite familiar with that. And she also can eat chicken and other fowl without a problem. It is antigenically different than chicken or duck or goose. I think it's probably the turkey itself, but I'm just wondering, have you ever had any problems with antibiotics or, do you have any of those types of allergies?
No.
I
have MS.
Oh.
But, I mean, it hasn't gone one way or the other with the turkey allergy.
Okay. Well, as I said, it is possible to have strictly a turkey allergy.
Yeah.
So avoidance is the mainstay of that. Just avoid it.
Another related question. I was given a protein supplement at one point early in my MS. And I reacted to that because it had a turkey derivative.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never heard of that either.
Are there some common names for turkey derivatives that may be additives to things? Because it kind of threw up red flags for me that I had never been concerned about before. Oh, gosh, I got to start reading labels.
We're almost out of time. Do they put turkey derivatives in many things?
I am not aware of any other names that it would be called other than saying it's from turkey.
Yeah.
So it isn't like casein or whey where I know that's a milk protein. I'm not sure of any names that would tell you, oh, this is from turkey.
Well, Dr. Morse, thank you very much for being with us. If people want more information, you have a website, lacrosseallergy.com?
Correct.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Mary Morris, MD, is a physician of Allergy Associates of La Crosse, a member of the American College of Physicians, medical director of Allergy Choices in La Crosse. Her website or the website for more information, lacrosseallergy.com. Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing the hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.